Let's head back inside of this bright and beautiful row home on State Street in Camden. This is a great place to examine a big movement that could revolutionize public health and how social services are delivered.
So there's rooms upstairs, a couple of offices, but it's built to have
community. I'm with Father Jeff Puthoff, a sturdy Jesuit priest. He runs a program called HopeWorks that's been teaching struggling youth computer and life skills for over a decade. So some of the kids in the program move into the house here on State Street to get away from toxic family situations. And Puthoff thought providing them this great safe space would make their lives better. But it didn't really. They told him they felt really ill at ease in their new environment. And the computer training that the program provides, those results were mixed too. Puthoff and his staff would work hard to train a young person and to set them up with a job.
And then they oftentimes blow it up. So they're in a situation and they underperform, they get angry, they don't show up, they're not able to manage a schedule.
Puthoff's staff was getting frustrated and started to crack down.
Youth might show up late. And so people here started saying, well, if you're three times late, you can't come back for a month.
But this tough love wasn't working at all. Kids would just stop showing up. And that's when Puthoff discovered a whole world of research on something called trauma-informed care. Simply put, it poses a different question.
Not why did you do something? We're trying to think about what happened to that youth.
And he's not the only one asking that different question.
Moving from just asking what's wrong with you to really asking what happened to you.
This concept of really trying to understand behaviors rather than jumping in to fix them is really catching on among mental health providers in recent years. And they all use the same word.
Trauma.
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 Trauma-informed.
Injuries to the brain due to experience.
This is not PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, we're talking about here. PTSD is typically seen as a response to a specific traumatic event in the person's life. Trauma in this context is chronic stress and adversity that starts in childhood and changes people over time.
It changed the landscape because of the pervasiveness of the ACEs, the huge number of public
health. A lot of this thinking can be traced back to the so-called ACE study. It's a massive ongoing research project that ties adverse childhood experiences, ACE, to serious physical and mental health problems later in life.
The power of the ACE study is it's simple.
Speaking here is Robert Anda, one of the principal investigators for the study. It's a collaboration between the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Kaiser Permanente's Health Appraisal Clinic in San Diego. For the initial study, Anda and others asked 17,000 middle-class people 10 questions about their childhoods. Had there been physical or sexual abuse, neglect? Were their parents divorced? Was there drug use in their home? And so on.
The voices of the 17,000 people in this study spoke, and it jumped right out. You don't have to be a genius to analyze this data and see what it shows.
The lifelong impact of having a high ACE score, meaning having experienced four or more different adversities, is devastating. The study found increased rates of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, obesity. And by the way, if you want to check your own ACE score, we've posted a link to the questionnaire on our website, whyy.org/thepulse. You answer 10 questions. Each time you answer yes, you get a point, and the total is your score. High ACE scores are also connected to serious mental health and social problems.
About 60-75% of substance dependence is directly correlated with early childhood adversity and stress.
Psychiatrist Stephen Berkowitz heads the Penn Center for Youth and Family Trauma Response and Recovery in Philly, where he says high rates of poverty typically mean high ACE scores. He says over time, people adapt to ongoing adversity, for example, to a lack of safety.
When you feel chronically endangered, one of the best ways to take care of that is to be the aggressor rather than the victim. And we see that in the city all the time.
In essence, trauma-informed care means don't jump in to fix a behavior. Look at the behavior as a clue, as something that tells a bigger story. At HopeWorks in Camden, I met Latifa Kersey, who seemed tense and very much on edge, ready to jump up and go. The young mom has lived in some of the city's most violent neighborhoods and has adapted accordingly when she walks around.
If I had my son, my boyfriend has to stay behind me and watch. Because I'm watching the front, I can't see what's in back of me.
Do you ever relax?
No.
Now, think back to the house we visited at the beginning of the story. Bright, freshly renovated, and yet new residents typically can't stand it. Father Jeff Puthoff says when viewed through this lens of life experience, the get me out of here response suddenly makes sense.
They're very much ready to be attacked, and so their bodies are always having a high level of cortisol, and so they actually have a physiological response to moving into a safer place that's uncomfortable.
His staff now reviews these feelings with young people moving into the house and offers them coping strategies, such as listening to music or exercising. Across the river in Philadelphia, understanding this context of traumatic experience is also becoming a guiding principle in delivering services.
Just being aware that people come to us with those histories, that in and of itself opens up a whole different set of questions that we want to ask people.
Dr. Arthur Evans heads the city's Department of Behavioral Health Services, which has changed its approach to becoming trauma-informed.
So that we're not just looking at people's symptoms, but we're really trying to look at the underlying issues that led to those symptoms.
Evans says it's an ongoing process, one he likens to turning a gigantic ocean liner around. It means a lot of staff training, making sure the latest treatments are used in the field. They've made policy changes, for example, avoiding out-of-state foster placement for children because that's a traumatic experience. They send teams into neighborhoods after violent incidents and on and on.
A lot of times the child's behavior is just a marker for what's going on in terms of the home and the family and the community the child's growing up in.
The gospel of trauma-informed care is also resonating with pediatricians who are increasingly dealing with behavior and developmental issues in children. Pediatrician Andy Garner of Case Western Reserve University travels all over the country, urging his colleagues that a kid's relationship with their caretakers is as important a vital sign as the heart rate.
And so as a pediatrician, when you see a family, you see a mother or a father and the child, and it's clear that the relationship doesn't seem quite right, that they're not interacting in a helpful way, that they're stressed, that they're not in tune with each other, that you sense that the attachment isn't going very well, that's a huge risk factor and a red flag and something that we want to try and address.
How do you address these issues? In Philadelphia, pediatricians, mental health providers, and policymakers have formed an Adverse Childhood Experiences Task Force to discuss just that. Joel Fine of the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia is one of the chairs of this task force.
The city has truly become more ACEs aware, and all of the systems that we've interacted with, from police to behavioral health, have really started to carry the flag for this knowledge base and the activities that go along with it.
Fine says so far the task force has mostly been doing groundwork. The next step is to figure out what exactly can be done about all of this. And that's part of what's been frustrating UPenn psychiatrist Stephen Berkowitz. A lot of buzz, not enough action.
There's words, and there are people doing some good work, but there's no policy. And this is the kind of huge issue that requires real policy change.
He says not enough is done on a national level to prevent adverse childhood experiences from happening in the first place. He would like to see political action, support for struggling families, parenting classes, education, and on and on. He says prevention has been key in making a dent in other major public health problems.
The first thing that had an impact on mortality rates due to cancer was smoking prevention and cessation. And I think that it absolutely mimics what I'm talking about in terms of the effects of traumatic experience and stress in children.
But he knows it's not going to happen anytime soon.
That's a lifetime's work. That's not, you know, something that's going to happen in a couple years or even a decade. It's going to take much longer.
While big changes may take years to happen, Berkowitz says there's one thing to keep in mind. There is something that seems to protect children from the lifelong impact of childhood adversity.
there has been an adult in your life who has paid attention and cared for you. That seems to be the most resilient promoting factor.
And that adult could be anybody, a teacher, a friend, a neighbor, or you.